Siracusa, sponsored by Carnation, airing live on the United Public Radio Network on 105.3 FM in New Orleans. This show's entrance has been edited, produced, and directed by Gwen Clapper from Perfect Trust Productions, LLC. You can find us at perfecttrustproductions.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Monday night's segment of Horsefly Chronicles Radio with myself, Julia Siracusa, and Philip Siracusa. We're broadcasting live from the International Public Radio Network and the United Paranormal Radio Network on 105.3 FM from New Orleans. This evening's show is fully sponsored by Carnation, so we want to thank them for their sponsorship. We love them. You will have to do a few things in order to participate. Go over to the YouTube channel, UFO Paranormal Radio, or International Public Radio. You can also go into all the Facebook stations, UFO Paranormal Radio Network, UFO Undercover with Joe Montaldo, News on the Flip Side, also Twitch, SoundCloud, Podbeam, and also go over to our group, Horsefly Chronicles Radio. Join our group if you haven't, and if you have any questions for our guests, please ask. So tonight, guys, we have two amazing guests on our show. So please welcome David Taylor and Christy Grissom to the show from Our Haunted Lives. David and Christy have both been drawn to the paranormal since a very young age. They're both experienced paranormal investigators. David started Our Haunted Lives about a year and a half ago. Christy joined just over a year ago, and together, they have formed a partnership. They have led. They've led to being the number one show on Paraflix, and has allowed them to investigate some of the most notable haunted locations in America. You can catch them both on Paraflix every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. EST on Our Haunted Live. So please, let's welcome them to the show.
Welcome.
Hey, how are
you? Thank you so much. We are so happy to be here.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. Wow, the number one show on Paraflix. Yes. That's a big title there. How's that feel?
It feels great, but talk show. I don't want to
step in anybody's talk feet. Show.
Yeah, the number one talk show.
Talk show.
Yeah. Most definitely. We might have some people going, what were y'all saying now? Come on, guys.
Brandon from Twisted Nights is going to call us. You're not trending.
The correction annies will come out after you.
Totally. Sorry.
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah.
So, Monica, can you let both of you take us to the beginning of your story? And whoever wants to go first, David, how did this all start for you? And, you know, what drew you into the paranormal world?
Sure. So it really started when I was a younger child growing up in Philadelphia. I used to see my great grandmother. I hope I'm not butchering this, but I would call her babcia. It was the Polish term for grandma. And I would see her in and around the house and so I talked to my grandmother about it, and she'd be like, you've never met her. And so she would show me like photos of my babcia, and I go, yeah, I see her all the time. So it wasn't a scary situation with that. I think it was more of a kind of comforting thing. But I also would be able to see people's auras at a real young age. I used to call it people's rainbows. And my grandmother really kind of, encouraged me to really kind of go that path. But, you know, we all become teenagers and we go to high school and get into college and different things like that. And I really got away from it. And, you know, moving across the country to Arizona and then up to the Pacific Northwest, I really, really kind of tried to get back involved with the paranormal. Up there, I was able to do some things up there and investigate some really great places like the Shanghai tunnels and, you know, some other places that that are around, you know, the great states of Oregon and Washington up there. But really didn't really get into it until really, you know, my wife and I moved to North Carolina. The pandemic came, you know, everybody had idle hands, you know, and so, you know, by hook or by crook, you know, started Our Haunted Lives and was really going down one path that I didn't really like about, you know, with the YouTube thing and being really forced to create content. I really appreciate quality over quantity. So the person and I that were involved with Our Haunted Lives kind of split. But I had met Christy before that and did a few investigations with that. Then started the kind of, you know, the live thing. And Christy really helped out with some podcasts and live things. And we really kind of meshed with that and really kind of talked about it. And Christy, if you want to take over, you can to tell your story about how, you know, we kind of came together.
Well, you know, you're doing such a wonderful job there, David, and you sound amazing. I sound like I've got a clothespin on my nose right now. So, unfortunately, I'm sick, so I don't sound like this all the time. But, he summed it up pretty good as far as how we got together. For me, how the paranormal started, the earliest I can remember, I was 5 at my grandmother's house in Stephenville, Texas, and my brother and I were sleeping on the pull-out couch, and I couldn't sleep, and this lady just walked right past the couch right next to me and walked into the bathroom, and I'm like, who is this woman? And I mean, now that I think back, of course, she just didn't fit. She didn't fit at all. Yeah. You know, I wasn't afraid. I wanted to wake up my brother, but I didn't, you know, and because I didn't want him to tease me. But I've been able to communicate and see things, feel things, visions, prophetic dreams, my whole entire life, but I'll go through stages where absolutely nothing happens, absolutely nothing. And I think that's when you're having traumatic things going on in your life and you just can't deal with it or whatnot. That's just my theory. I don't even know what I want to call it. I just say I'm intuitive. And just let it go from there. But David, I was working with Ghost Haunt Weekends, a company out of Tennessee, and the Tennessee Wraith Chasers from the Travel Channel. And I would put a lot of stuff up, and David and I I don't remember how exactly it happened. I think he invited me to come on an investigation. And I was like, well, you need to come do this with me. And it was just, we clicked, and he's like my big brother bodyguard.
it was a really weird thing, especially, you know, with the pandemic going on and people really kind of being very cautious about meeting different people and meeting up. And I think we the one investigation we did was the one in Gaston about it was that horrible story, but we couldn't
find is that the one that we got chased out of?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was that. And, you know, then, yeah, it's where Christy kind of first saw my abilities a little bit of I was saying he's coming home. We found an abandoned house and we were having a really, really good investigation. It was during the daytime. And so I just
wasn't so abandoned.
Yeah, it wasn't so abandoned. And, you know, her and my friend were using the pendulum on the board, and they were doing it. And Christy knows this now of when we investigate, when something's about to happen, I start pacing around and start going back and forth and back and forth, because I just start feeling something. And these are things that, that I'm working on, and everybody really should work on when they feel like they have some abilities in some way. And I just saying, I see somebody coming home, and then all of a sudden somebody pulled up and they were there. So I don't know if it's just coincidence or with that, but it was great. And then just, you know, really kind of getting to know Christy. And I was very intimidated by Christy at first. Christy is a very powerful person, and she sounds a bit sick right now, but Christy is working on her abilities like no other person that I know. She's taking classes. She's working with Patty Negri, Kedrick Olson, Father Sebastian. She's working with so many people. And she's finally going to realize one time, because I see this every time she walks in a room. It's just like real power walks in a room. She is very humble about her abilities, but she's very good at it.
Yeah, all 5 foot one of me. I mean, I'm vertically challenged, but I walk in and I scare the hell out of everybody. I don't know how to.
She does. She does. Trust me, she does. She does.
I can definitely see that. Yeah. I mean, I think that you guys really work really good together. I've seen your live on the Warrens Paragon, and you guys were great.
So you were the one? I'm joking.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
You were the one.
No, the WarrenCon was great. And thank you for watching. It's really great. Everybody there was absolutely incredible, and it was really
trial and error.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. You know, it was the first time that we were doing live broadcasts from a location. Anywhere. And you know, it was very, very stressful, but it worked out. The hotel was nothing but kind to us of you know, setting up the internet and everything like that for us. It was some experiences we had there too with the doll.
Well, I have a big question to ask you, but
you can ask both of us, because
this is your show. You go right ahead, Julia.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah, please do.
So,
please do.
The Annabelle doll. I know. I don't even know if you really want to talk about it, and you don't have to if you don't want to. But I'm going to ask. You did get a little sick, and it said that you lost your vision for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it? Are you comfortable talking about it?
Yeah. I mean, I just want people to know that that doll is no joke. You know, it is very, I mean, with the movie doll that you see, the movie doll looks very sinister, but Annabelle is very welcoming and wants you to open that door and hold her and take her home. So like Christy said, I'm rather a large man. So I'm like 6'7", about 300 pounds. So I'm a big guy. So basically like an offensive lineman in the NFL. Okay. So my friend Josh and I, Josh with Addict Junkie, he's like, let's go. And so we go. And there were many other, artifacts in the room also. But the Annabelle one obviously is the main attraction. And I just went up to it and I was very, very close, like about, I'd say 3 inches from the plexiglass, and just staring right into Annabelle's eyes. And it was very comforting because I didn't feel like I was challenging Annabelle, but I definitely was. And Annabelle, Annabelle let me know what was up, of who blinked first. And I was, and I walked away and took my glasses off, and Josh was there, and I was really, really very scared at the second, because it wasn't total blindness, but just total like blurry, you know, really couldn't focus and just kind of rubbing my eyes, and there was really no reason for it whatsoever. So that was my experience. Christy, do you want to tell them yours? Because hers is even worse.
I actually, Julia and Philip.
Yeah.
I have not talked about this publicly as to what happened to me.
Yeah.
I've talked to, you know, a couple of friends, but we are live on a radio show, so I guess I should. I think I'm okay with talking about it now.
If you're comfortable,
Yeah, Christy. I know this is very, very personal for you. So
I went in and I immediately connected with Annabelle, and she was showing me images of a little girl. I'd say 5, 6. She was telling me, "You are so pretty. You seem so nice. I just want you to take me out of here. I want to go with you. I want to be your friend." It was a total, it was a beautiful experience, Josh had to pull me away from her. I'd go back a couple of times because I was connecting with her. Mm-hmm. Right after that, I went up to the conjuring mirror and I tried to scry, because I'm not the greatest at it, but I do know how to do it. But within 10 seconds, I about hit the floor. There were so many things going through me. It was like hundreds of people or just energies just going through me. And I about fell over. He had to grab me. But I thought everything was fine.
She was acting totally normal the rest of the night. We had dinner with a lot of people. But Christy, continue. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Like, I was like, oh, it was nothing. You know, I was kind of disappointed because I do know my abilities. And I'm like, I'm in this room with all this stuff. And all I have is a little doll telling me, "Oh, you're pretty. Can I come home with you?" That night, I had a horrible nightmare, and it did relate to some items in the room. We go back the next day, and I wanted to go back in there, and we weren't able to go back in. And I said goodbye to Annabelle as we're walking out, and the Warrens, and I started to cry. I got very emotional. Mm-hmm. I'll try to make this short.
Okay.
That night, I could not go to sleep. Finally, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I fell asleep. Instantly, nightmares, the Annabelle doll, and images, flash images of different things about the Warrens, this and that. And I was having sleep paralysis. Unbeknownst to me, I was screaming in my dreams. I knew I was asleep. I mean, if anybody knows what sleep paralysis is, David could hear me, but he could, to me, I'm screaming.
Yeah.
And all he could hear was no, and my feet kind of kicking.
Yeah.
So he was like, he said, Christy, come back. I could hear his voice and it would bring me out of it. I went through that cycle for the next 3 hours of the same dreams, the same images, the sleep paralysis, myself knowing that I'm in sleep paralysis, and the images are still flooding. And, I think David only had to wake me up twice. I think I pulled myself out of it 3 or 4 times. But it was horrible. It was horrible. And I don't think it has anything to do with Annabelle. I think it has to do with something that came through the mirror. I continued to have nightmares for days after, and sleep paralysis, which sleep paralysis, one right after another, that's very rare. It ended up, I'm twiddling with my
brain
right now. I'm like just talking about it. But I came home and I did cleansings, and Kedrit Olson helped me with some stuff, and I believe it to be gone now, whatever it was. But okay. it was one of the most intense things that I've had happen to me, that I believe that is dealing paranormally.
Yeah.
That sounds scary. You know, here's my question. I never seen the Annabelle doll, and I hear a lot about it, and I know that items, objects can be haunted. Do you think that there is an evil entity still, all these years later, still attached to that doll?
I think there's something there.
Yeah, I mean, Ed Warren really, Annabelle doll is the nice way to call it. Ed Warren used to call it the devil doll. So, yeah, so there is something there.
But see, everybody, the word demon means something to, you know, everybody. There's so many different definitions. My definition is going to be different from somebody that, you know, is a staunch Catholic or this or that, you know, so it's different terminologies, whatever.
Or we could say negative energy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's something negative in there. And I honestly, I don't know if it's the same one that was there all those years ago. I just think that it's a doll that draws in. If one leaves, another one takes its place.
Yeah.
And I don't know that to be a fact. You know, of course, I don't know it to be a fact, but I just believe that something is always in there.
Yeah.
It's famous. It's, why would another entity not want to inhabit that doll?
You know? Yeah. And the thing you have to understand, Philip and Julia, is that when we saw Annabelle was looked at, you know, not poked and prodded, but taken pictures and this, that, and provoked by over 1,200 people in that one day of when we saw it. So if you look at it from our realm of say, you know, you guys were sitting at a table and people are coming to you and asking questions and challenging you to do something or things like that, I would probably think at the end of the day, you would be a little bit perturbed too. Right. And we found out about it. You know,
but I was nice to her.
I know. I know that. But
you need to laugh, but
you're nice to her. But you know what's interesting about what both of you are saying? You said you had a slight blindness.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Zach Bagans in the Demon House went through something similar with his eyes when he was left alone.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
And it's interesting to me because I believe that when you're open and you have an intention of belief of that world, that the possibilities could be endless. And, you know, then my other question, who wants to answer this? This is an experiment that we've done mm-hmm. with Holmes. If you have a non-believer,
yeah,
an atheist, and the atheist goes up to the Annabelle doll and takes pictures and says things, but he doesn't believe in anything. He doesn't believe in heaven, hell, God, spirits, nothing. The atheist, in most cases, is not affected by anything because he doesn't have any thought process. What's your thoughts?
I actually, sorry, David, do you want?
No. Well, you know, I'm kind of that crew. I'm agnostic. I really don't subscribe to any religion, but I am open to things. You know, there are things that are out there that I can't explain. You know, so with being open, I do think that you're on something there of when somebody is closed off and doesn't think that there is anything out there after, you know, this life. I do believe that, you know, if they do go on an investigation, they're not really going to find something, or they're going to say, oh, it's just blinking lights. Or if we get something on a spirit box, it's somebody outside on the.
Well,
the
you radio. Can always. Yeah. You can always say it's this or it's that or. But I mean, it comes down to this. Actually, this is a really simple answer to your question. Manifestation. It's as simple as that. Somebody thinking and putting in a thought form and speaking it into words. Once you put it into words, it's out there.
And
it stays out there. And you can manifest things over and over and over. So an atheist, somebody that doesn't believe that there's anything there, of course, they're going to have their walls up. But don't for a second think that an atheist cannot be affected by something. Mm-hmm. It's just that they're not going to say that that's what it is.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's like a circle. You go round and round and round and round.
Well, you know, I bring it up because I like to debunk almost everything, but I know paranormal phenomenon does exist. Okay. Sure. Look, if I'm going to sleep with one eye open at night, I want to make sure that as a 54-year-old man that I'm sleeping with one eye open for a reason. Right. So I know it exists. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, we've put people to a test in another house that we used to own, where I'd sent people to do work in the home, and the home was tainted with spirits, and they didn't believe anything. I didn't tell them anything, and nothing happened. And then I had other people, psychics, medium, investigators, find things in there and were affected. So to me, it's very interesting that once you're open, and now both of you said at the beginning of the show that you've had experiences, you know, you tapped into that world through young ages, and that seems to be the theme with almost every guest, including myself, that at a young age through adolescence, I'm seeing things that no one else is seeing. And it's true that when you speak the words, you're manifesting something through the power of thought.
Yeah.
Where other people who don't believe in, you know, whatever happens, you know, they just don't have any thought process. But I've also challenged some of those people because one time there was a negative spirit that we were dealing with, and they're like, I'll do a Ouija board, it's nothing, it's fake, and all this is BS. So I said, okay, you know what, I know there's something here. I know you don't believe, so go ahead and try it. Well, what was interesting is they didn't believe, and then within 5 to 10 minutes they couldn't breathe, they were choking, they were gasping for air, having a really bad attack. And I found that to be very, and I took the board away, of course, but I found it interesting how the other side has these capabilities more than what we have. You know, we have physical capabilities, but spirits of the other side can, from my knowledge, do almost the impossible. Like they make your keys disappear or your cell phone, and things reappear in other places, and you argue with people. And you know, you said that so many people, 1,200 people were taking pictures and talking to Annabelle. And, you know, I think that what's happening at that point is you're feeding it. Right.
Yeah.
The energy that you're giving needs
it, you're
to...
giving it energy.
Yeah.
And it's going to. I mean, we don't know. I mean, in our realm, of course, everything is linear. Everything's time, this, you know, day, night. What in the spirit world, we have no idea. Is it daylight to them? Is it night? Is it that? So we don't even know how. I think there's some spirits that can do more than others. Maybe is it because they've been in that realm a little bit longer, or were they open when they, you know, when they were a human, or if they're angry, if they're an angry person in life, they're going to be an angry person in death. So they might cause different things. We just don't really know exactly how the spirit realm works per se. So
and Christy she makes a great point with that too, of manifestation, of, you know, if you're going to do an investigation in your bad mood, I'm pretty sure you're going to have a negative experience when you're investigating there.
Oh, definitely. Well, it's your frequencies and your vibrations. Absolutely. Everybody, like, you can have a house that haunts a family. Mm-hmm. And then you can have 10 families in that same house, you know, renting after renting, and nothing happened. Well, it takes just one person that entity has a connection to. They may be on the same vibration. They may be on the same frequency. They may remind them of somebody. They may offend them. They may this, they may that. So that they may lay dormant until the right person comes along. So other people, you know, like Amityville.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, you know,
it's like everything's fine, nothing happens here, you know. Well, maybe it's dormant, maybe it doesn't want to do anything to you guys because y'all won't be any fun. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know,
No, it's very true. And it really comes to the point of what we try to let people know. Like if you do go on investigations, make sure to ground yourself before you go in, make sure to clear your mind, make sure to protect yourself, whatever discipline you are, whether you say a prayer, you know, you make the symbol of algas, the crystal light of protection,
chanting, just whatever do,
whatever you need to do, make sure you do that. That is the biggest thing that I see when I go investigate on investigations with some people, because we do a lot of collaborations with people, and they just walk in like nothing's going.
And I'm the worst about it, and you know, I should, and I know better.
Yeah, you do.
And I mean, I live my crown chakra and my third eye. It's like they're completely open and running like Mach 10, 24/7. The rest of me is like on turtle mode. So it's like,
and sometimes you get so excited about these locations too, and I think maybe some people just forget that, and that's so important.
Right.
You've got to have an even keel. Even when you're going to a well-known place, you have to have an even keel. Is it exciting to get into these places? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there something that's going to happen? Maybe. You know, you don't know. That's the thing with investigating. Yeah. But if you go in, I don't know, maybe somebody cut you off and you're starting to swear at the person, you know, it's just bringing that really bad energy towards you.
Bring back down. Like if I'm doing the Ouija board, I help Mike and Chris with the Wraith Chasers. Usually if they have their board out, they always call, you know, say, Christy, hey, let's see if somebody wants to play. So they'll get me on there because they know I know how to do it. But one of the first things that I say is, you know, I can't have anybody that's compromised. I can't have anybody that's physically ill. I can't have anybody that, you know, just got through arguing with their mother or their boyfriend
or maybe has like an addiction or.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I hate to ask people that because it's personal, yeah. but once we get on the board, I'm going to know.
Yeah.
I'm going to know. Yeah. And I had an individual fail to tell me that he had an attachment. And within about 6-7 questions, I'm like, you know, I don't like to call myself psychic, but I'm not stupid. I knew, I was like, okay, who is this person and who is he to you? Because I'm getting messages from my spirit guide saying the spirit thinks that this child looks like his son, his dead son. Mm-hmm. And the boy, I say child, he was 19, 20, something like that. He ended up telling me the story. And I was like, what did I say right before?
You know. And you do ask everybody the questions too. Like, does anyone have anything that they want to tell you in that sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to.
Absolutely. But it was his attachment that was coming through on the board.
Well, so. and with that being with what Christy said, you have to understand that when you're letting something through, not only can attach to that person, but you're opening yourself up to that attachment also. Yeah. So, you have to be very, very careful with
it. Oh yeah. It affected me because I threw a curveball. I didn't know this kid from Adam. And I said, how old am I minus 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, this kid's not going to know that.
No.
And what if they didn't know? What if, like, someone just didn't know that they have an attachment?
Well, if everybody has shades, everybody has, they're not really, if you want to call them, it's like a loose attachment, but everybody has shades. Everybody has little things that are attached to them, whether they're not always human. They could be thought forms. They could be energies that you have just not cut the ties with. Mm-hmm. Everybody has those. And if you don't clear Right. If you don't clear those, then it's going to bog you down. Okay. And I need to listen to what I'm saying right now because I So, but there's a lot of times people don't know these things. And it is sad. I wish I was more of a psychic where I could help people more about, you know, knowing things. Sometimes I'll key in on it, but sometimes I don't. So it's kind of hit or miss, you know? So,
yeah.
But a true attachment though, I believe is difficult. I'm a skeptic as well too, Philip. I may believe in the paranormal, but I am the first to say, no. That you know, I'll try to debunk it.
You have to be though.
In our house,
in the field, you do.
We've had over 52 paranormal teams, and I have a pretty thick head, right? Because I'm like, well, this one's BS, and this one's fake, and this one's doing. Mm-hmm. But you know, what sold me. Mm-hmm. What really did sell me was that there was a toy with no batteries that went off in my basement that cannot go off because it ain't light or motion activated.
Yep.
And that scared me.
Yeah,
that really scared me. That did some trauma to me because you can't explain it, you can't debunk it, and that was 2 days after we had a ministry here, trying to remove what we thought was a presence of negativity.
Okay.
So in my mind's thought is like, this thing is saying I'm not leaving, and I'm going to show you what I can do.
Yeah.
Now to me, I'm the messenger, and I tell people, look. It is real. This stuff does exist.
Right.
If someone's out there and they're not a believer and they're gonna, I'm like, you know what? I'm not here to prove it.
Yeah.
It does exist. Maybe you'll never encounter anything in your lifetime. That could be great. Or maybe you should be careful the words you speak, because if you speak the wrong words at the wrong location, you may have something come home with you, which we've seen, that you're not going to get rid of very quickly.
Right.
But these things. We don't know. We have boundaries in the physical world. They don't have boundaries. Right. These things, what we have seen can do, is scary. Very scary.
People think that, oh, they can't leave from the house that they're in, or they can't leave. that is so not true.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to save those people.
Those are the same people say, well, the house ain't 100 years old. It can't be haunted.
Now there are some, you know, circumstances where, you know, they don't want to leave, or they're being held by another entity where they can't, or it could be just a man that died in a house and he was he was a horrible person, and he thinks that he's going to go to hell, so because he believes in heaven and hell, so he's like, I'm just going to stay right here where I know I'm comfortable, because if I try to go, I know I'm going to hell.
Yeah,
you know, so they don't want to leave.
So crazy that you said that's what happened to me growing up. Did that exact story. It was a man. It was one man. He would never go. He died in the house, and it was awful for all of us. And it's true.
And I met her. And I slept over one night on the couch, and in the kitchen, I see this old man on the toilet, dinner side, creepy looking. And I'm like, what am I seeing? I just met this girl. I'm dating her. And there's somebody in her kitchen that doesn't exist because he was there and he's not there through the mind.
And at that point, I was blocked off too. So I kind of like didn't even see him. I stopped seeing him around like 12 because I kind of like learned to like shield myself. And then I blocked everything off. But he seen me. And I was just like, oh, my God,
you
can see him. And I was like,
what? It seems to me like both of you have a lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
And you have abilities, and you've had these encounters at young ages, just like myself and my wife. And it seems to be like that's where this goes. We've interviewed hundreds of guests, and that's it's through adolescence. I grew up and I've seen my grandmother, my grandfather, somebody that I don't even know who it is. I've seen it. I've had sleep paralysis. Which I've had, and that's scary. There's a pattern of these things that happen to people with abilities. The good news is that people like yourself and us, we're messengers. We can teach people that it does exist.
Right.
You know
now,
the capabilities. I don't know.
Right. It's hard for me to pinpoint exactly what I am, other than, you know, Christy, you know, but I have what I'm doing right now with the sleep paralysis, because I do have it happen quite often, I am learning how to transition into the astral plane and astral projecting, because that's the perfect time. That's the perfect, you know, right in between the waking and the sleep. Mm-hmm. That's when you can do all of your dream work and your, I was about to say shadow work, but no, dream work and astral travel and all of that. So once you realize, okay, I've got sleep paralysis, don't panic. You can transition.
Yes.
Either into waking yourself up or transition into, okay, I'm going to control this dream now. I'm going to work on this. I'm going to try to do this, try to do that. And it's very difficult.
It is.
Very difficult.
And you made a really great point, Philip, about how people you've interviewed with the openness of experiences when they're a child. We do that that experiment, but also with people. And we've done 32 shows for Paraflix now, and I'd say probably 31 people have had the experiences of when they're a mm-hmm. child. You're more open, more innocent when you're a child. Mm-hmm. You don't know the evils of the world. You don't think something's stupid or uncool or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And you're just more willing to accept. And then, you know, we all go through it. You go through your teenage years. You're not worried about what's going on in the paranormal world. Your
parents are like, yeah, there's nothing there. There's nothing under your bed. Ghosts don't exist, blah, 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 blah. You know, so, I mean, I grew up in a very strict Baptist, you know, my father was a deacon in the church in Texas. So it's uh-huh. like, you know, you don't talk about stuff like that, you know. Yeah. And my brother passed away when I was 14. It was very, very difficult because that was, you know, you really young, and you know, you're not a death like that at that age. It's like, how do you process that? Mm-hmm. You know, he visited me, and in all the research that I've done, it's very common for, before they pass over, for them to go check on everybody in the family to make sure that they're okay. And mm-hmm. he sure enough did. He came up, and I was washing my face, and he put his hand on my shoulder, kind of like patting my shoulder, like, you're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was him. I pulled the towel down, and of course I didn't see anybody, but it registered when I felt the hand on my shoulder, it registered in my head, oh, John Todd. Not mm-hmm. thinking, okay, John Todd has already passed and this is his ghost. I'm literally thinking, oh, what does John Todd want? You know, I knew it was him. Yeah. And it wasn't just a little, it was a full hand on your shoulder, you know.
Love and that, stories like that. Yeah.
It was kind of like, but it's frustrating mm-hmm. because in all of those years, I get spirits contacting me during sleep. My mom, I'll talk to my mom. I'll be like, Mom, don't you know you're dead? She's like, yes, I know I'm dead, but this is the only way I can talk to you, you know. But I don't get that with my brother. I don't, he was 19, and yeah. I don't know if it's, maybe he's been reincarnated, so he's no longer in the mm-hmm. spirit world, or maybe he's just passed over to wherever it is, and, or maybe he just, who knows?
Yeah, but, you know, I can relate to that. Yeah.
I'm going to hit on something really quick, because I like to dissect everything as an analyst. And you know what you just said rang true. You said that you don't know if he was reincarnated. Mm-hmm. Well, when I talk to my guest about these haunted locations around the world, that we all know the names of them, mm-hmm. and most of them, most of the people think that they're still communicating with the same person that died in that house, either through a tragedy or some event, or just crossed over health conditions, and they're still there. Well, quite frankly, I have a hard time believing that, and I'll tell you why.
Sure.
There's no way you're going to tell me, anybody's going to tell me, that the same spirit from 200 years ago is there because you are the investigator that wants to communicate with them. So you're making it that person. I'm not buying it. I buy reincarnation. I buy that there's also these mimicking things that come out and make believe that they're us.
Yes.
Have you ever experienced that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are absolutely, I completely agree with you on that one, Philip. Do I think that a spirit can be in a location for 200-300 years? Yeah, it is possible because anything is possible.
Right.
But to think, okay, we're on this earth and I think everybody has a purpose. Everybody's got a purpose. Yes. And maybe it's the same way in the spirit world. Maybe they haven't passed on or been reincarnated, however you want to believe, because they have a purpose in the spirit world that they have to fulfill before they go wherever. It's possible, because I had an incident where that scenario would fit perfectly. But yeah, I think a lot of them do mimic, because so many investigators go to the same place and they want to see Rebecca at St. Albans, or they want to see, you know, the Bathsheba or whatever over at the Conjuring House, and they want this and that. So, okay, well, let's give them what they want.
Yeah.
There you go. Both of you are very smart, because you said earlier that it's the words that we say can manifest. Mm-hmm. And well, we're smart, but I got to be honest with you. The spirit world is 1,000 times smarter than us. Oh, and definitely. Through paranormal recordings and things, they tell us things that we're going to do before we even do it.
Yeah.
And right. To have that on that side telling us, hey, you're the fool, not us. It's mind blowing. And yet to think that they can't mimic when they really can mimic and say, oh, yeah, I'm that person. Let's play. That's what I believe in. You can't tell me all these locations are same exact people, because I don't buy that.
Speaking in different languages, you get the same. Yeah. You get the same voice, but then they speak in different languages.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's creepy.
Very true.
You know, it's like, okay, that just happened.
and you
mimicking
really,
is the worst. That's happened to me a lot. Yeah.
Philip brings up a great point about spirits being tricksters also. They really like to have fun a lot, and they will play with you. And you have to be very careful with that, because depending on what it is, and I'm not going to use the word, it starts with a D, because it's very trendy right now, but it's a way for the spirit to get in and get in on a good side, whether it's a good spirit or bad spirits.
They're able to read you. They can read. I don't know if you want to call it telepathy or just intuition or, empathic, whatever, but they can read you. They know what's going to pull at your heartstrings. They know what's going to affect you. Yeah. And they know, now maybe not all of them. I think some spirits are more advanced than others, like I said earlier. But I think like Annabelle knew exactly what to say to me. She knew exactly what to say to me, you know, because it just, I got butterflies. I'm like, oh, there's nothing evil about her. She's, you know, I get
deception, right?
Right. But also in the back of my mind, I also knew better. But it still didn't keep me from feeling the way that I felt. So, I'm feeling one way, but in the back of my mind, I also, you know, this is, I got to be careful.
And you guys are both experienced paranormal investigators. You know what you're doing. And if this can happen to you guys, it could happen to people that don't have experience.
You know, one of the experiments I did also was I had someone who was really good on a Ouija board, and I would ask questions, and people should learn this. This is true. This is a fact. And the spirit's giving some intelligent responses. And then I would ask these stupid questions that were not true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it would still respond as if it was making believe it was knowing. Mm-hmm. So talk about trickery. Mm-hmm. These things can pull off strings. You really got to be careful because we don't know truly who we're talking to. And I've seen a lot of these cases where, oh, no, that's just my sister that crossed over. And then I get a phone call a week later. This thing will not leave me alone. I feel threatened in my apartment in Manhattan. I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where, you know, like you said, you have to, whatever prayer you believe in and closing that board. And quite frankly, I'm going to be honest with everybody. Just because you say goodbye on a Ouija board, well, do you really think they're saying goodbye most of the time? Or they're just like, oh, really? I'm still hanging around, guys.
Right. And most people think it's just the Ouija board I'm sorry. Anytime you're doing divination, it doesn't matter if it's the Ouija board, if you're doing dowsing rods, pendulum, oracle cards. Yes. Anything, you are opening a pathway to the other side.
Yes.
The intent that you're using.
Yes.
Yeah.
This has been a great show. And unfortunately, we hit the hour. But I mean, we definitely have to do a part two because a lot of questions I didn't get to. You're both very, very intelligent. And I have so much more to go over and talk to you about. But the hour went so quick. This is awesome. I mean, where can people find you?
Sure. They can find us on all social media platforms, obviously, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and that would be at Our Haunted Lives. If you'd like to contact myself, you can contact me at ohldavidtaylor@gmail.com. And if you'd like to contact Christy, go ahead, Christy.
If you'd like to contact me about anything that I've said this evening or have any questions, it's ChristyParanormal@gmail.com. And I'm on all social media. So,
yep.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on Horsefly Chronicles Radio. We definitely want to do a sequel. And Julie, wrap it up.
All right. Well, special thank you to Carnation for fully sponsoring the show. We love them. Thank you. And please join us next Monday night on the United Public Radio Network on 105.3 FM from New Orleans, and stay tuned for the Angel Rock.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Nice meeting you.
Damn, girl.
What?
Did you want to talk the whole show?
Did I?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Jesus. You're doing the interviews from now on. God, damn, son. Jesus, I tried to get in there and you just rolled right over me like a fucking steamroller.
Dad, I've got so much medicine in my head right now. I was trying to act like I wasn't sick, so maybe I overdid it.
No, it's all good. The show was great. It's just I felt like, hey, there's Ringo Starr in the background.
Hey. That's happened to me a couple of times too on our show. So there you go.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean it as a dig. Okay.
So. No, I'm not taking it as that because when they said it was about time to wrap up, I was like going, wow, we didn't really.
Yeah, it was a little bit here, a little bit there. So, well, it was all right. Good deal. That was fun.
Well, you kept on referencing me all the time, so I would take off with that.
It's fine.
I'm sorry.
Relax.
You forgive me.
Yeah, it's fine. I have no problem with it. It saves my voice. You're the one who's sick.
I know. I got excited, though.
No, you were fine. You're fine, and you did really well. So thank you for being a champ again, like you always are, and doing this, because I know you don't feel well. And what's this dude's name that we're interviewing tomorrow night? What's his name?
Oh, jeez. How do I pronounce it? Aria.
It's tomorrow? Because I don't have anything on this in my calendar.
Yeah, I sent it to you if you go back and look through your stuff.
Okay. On the 30th, I have nothing.
No, it's the 1st.
Oh, on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, still have nothing.
Yeah, Wednesday. Adamo Fischella.
Okay, can you just spell it? A M
Adamo Fischella.
Okay.
Fischella.
Okay, cool. That's all I need, love.
Yeah. I'll have to watch his
I was going to do that tonight too. And
I probably won't do it tonight. I'm probably going to go to sleep, but
okay.
Well, I might not have sent it to you. I know I talked to you about it.
Adamo, whatever. I'll just put that in because I need to send out that email or whatever. We got some time, so this will be for season five. Season five, girls.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah. Good show. Thanks for doing it. You're fine. I'm making fun of you. Okay.
Yeah, so, I know.
So don't worry about it.
Hey, I thought it was really good. The guy was. I felt bad because I thought we were doing all the talking and not letting.
Well, we were. they asked like two questions.
I know.
So that's the funny part about it. So no, yeah,
well, it's because we're talk show hosts, so it's hard.
Well, and being on the other side, I love it when somebody does that. Keep going, man. Keep going, because it puts less pressure on you of right. what you have to do,
right.
and just kind of break in and you know veer a different way if you need to and stuff like that. So right. yeah, good job, dude. Get some rest, you know, and feel better. You know, I don't like that you're getting really sick.
Yeah, it'll go away soon though. I'll be ready to go by the
Vegas.
Yep.
That's really right. You need to start fucking manifesting.
That's right.
So
get
yeah.
Get out of me, demon.
Oh, yeah. Start dancing around with snakes. See how that works for you. Poisonous right. ones. Okay.
There we go. Yeah.
Don't have any serum around you either. So, I will get that email out. Yada, yada, yada. Don't worry about calling tomorrow. You're sick. Okay. Or if you have right. anything to say, whatever.
All right.
But we'll go from there. All right, Christy.
Have all a good right. night,
okay?
You too, sweetie.
Bye.